Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. We're currently taking questions from listeners just like you. You can ask a question by sending us one at radio@faithalone.org. Today's question has to do with John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29. You should read it sometime. It has this fascinating description of people coming up from the grave. So, we're going to talk about that today. I think you'll be excited to hear what Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar have to say about it. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to the show. My name's Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
We're taking your questions, which you can send to radio@faithalone.org. And it would be helpful if they were kind of short, to the point, maybe a few sentences long. Here's a nice short question from Bill in Montana. He says, are all those coming forth from the graves in John 5, 28 to 29 unbelievers? Was Jesus referring to the great white throne judgment there?
Okay, would you read those?
Sure. 5, 28 and 29. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation.
Okay, this is a rather puzzling statement by Christ.
And it's puzzling because it sounds like your eternal destiny depends on what you've done.
Right. Also, it's one of only a couple of places in John where he refers to bodily resurrection. Remember in John 11:25, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. That's the promise of resurrection of the believer. Well, you also have it here. In John 5:28, the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Most likely, this is a reference to the resurrection of both believers and unbelievers. It's not saying it's all going to occur at the same time, because we know there's a separation of 1,000 years. The believers are raised at the time of the rapture, which is 1,007 years before the raising of the unsaved dead after the millennium in Revelation 20, 11 through 15. So I would say this is the great white throne judgment, and this is also the judgment seat of Christ.
And so I can see someone saying, yeah, but he says the hour. It sounds like it's a specific time.
Right.
Not like 1,000 years between them time.
Well, it does, but you have this in prophetic teaching a lot. For example, in Zechariah 9, 9 and 10, verse 9 refers to the triumphal entry of Messiah into Jerusalem, mm-hmm. and verse 10 refers to his millennial reign. Well, there's an awful lot of time between the triumphal entry and the beginning of the millennium. Right now, it's 2,000 years and counting. And you also see that in quite a few other texts. So the hour simply refers to the time.
All right.
It doesn't literally refer to an hour or a minute. Obviously, the resurrection will be instantaneous.
I don't know if this is true in this text, but sometimes there's chronos, time in terms of chronos, like, you know, there's a time on the clock. And then there's kairos, which is kind of like just the age. It's that moment. It's the right time.
Yeah, that's a good question. And this isn't chronos or kairos. This is aura.
Okay.
You know, we get the idea of an hour from aura, but underneath in my Greek interlinear here, it says a time. A time is coming. It's not really looking at a literal hour. But I think the key to it is verse 29. Those who have done good get the resurrection of life. Those who have done evil, the resurrection of condemnation. There are several ways to understand verse 29. One way is to say, if there's anybody that's found who did well in their life, that is, they lived a sinless life, they're going to get the resurrection of life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's nobody, so there'll be no such people. And then those who have done evil, which is all, are going to get the resurrection of death. If that's the case...
So it's like a hypothetical statement.
Right, and this would only be looking at the great white throne judgment. So Bill basically sounds like he's taking that position.
He's just asking a question.
Well, okay, but when he asks the question, it sounds like he's contemplating maybe this just looks at unbelievers and maybe this just looks at the great white throne judgment. that is a possible understanding. But another way of looking at this is those who have done good refers to believers, and those who have done evil looks at unbelievers. Mm-hmm. And if that's the view, there's now another couple of ways to look at it. One way is the work salvation, lordship salvation view, which is if your good works outweigh your bad works, then you've done good. Or if your life is somehow characterized by good works, you've done good.
I mean, I can see someone just taking this as a straight work salvation teaching.
Right. And that's obviously wrong. But another way to look at it is those who have done good refers to those who have believed. That's the doing of the good. And therefore, the doing of the evil would be not believing. And this kind of links up with Revelation 20:15, which says, anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The basis of being cast in the lake of fire is not what's found in the book of deeds, which is found in Revelation 20:11 and following, but the book of life. If you're not in the book of life, you're cast in the lake of fire. So that way of looking at it would be that the doing of evil is unbelief. And that's the way I argue in my commentary on John in our Grace New Testament commentary. But I think Zane Hodges has a slightly different view, and I can't remember it exactly, but I think his view is something along the lines that those who come to faith in Christ can be said to be those who have done good, not because we look at their lives and their lives are overcoming lives, because only some believers are like that. But I think Hodges' view is they're part of a group that have done good. That is the church, the body of Christ. Hmm. And so they're raised as part of that group. I think that was his interpretation. I believe it's online. You can see, I think he did a BibSac article back in about 1970, early 70s on this. But there is a clear teaching all through John's gospel that the one who has everlasting life is the one who believes in Christ. And in John 6:28-29, if you go over one chapter, the Lord makes it clear it's not by works.
He makes it clear at verse 24, right?
Just a few verses before, he says,
most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. So for him to then just say almost in the same, like the next breath, him who does good to the resurrection of life. You can't forget what he just said. It does sound like the doing of the good is the believing, right? The believing
right.
He just mentioned
right.
He should do.
And that's what he says in John 6:28-29. They ask, what works must we do that we may work the works of God? He says, this is the work that you believe in him whom he sent.
Right.
So the only thing we can do. Now, by the way, there may be an allusion here in these verses to Daniel 12. Verses 2 and 3 of Daniel 12,
right.
It does talk about bodily resurrection,
mm-hmm.
And it talks about some being...
It has the eternal language.
Yeah, Daniel 12, 2 says, and many of those who sleep in the dust shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to everlasting contempt. So you have these two resurrections, and you could call those who rise to everlasting life the resurrection of life.
Right.
And the one who are raised to shame and everlasting contempt could be called, what is it here in 6:29, the resurrection of condemnation.
Right. All right, well, those are the options. I hope that answers your question, Bill. Here's a question from Sam. He says, hi, I often get paranoid that the rapture may have already happened and we just never realized it. Or what if the mark of the beast is already in effect and now I have it and I can never go to heaven? I know that probably sounds nuts. I'm usually able to push the thought to the back of my mind, but it never really goes away. Is there something from the Bible for me to know that everything is okay when I have those thoughts?
Well, yeah, that is not rational thinking, and let me give a couple of reasons why. First of all, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, then you know the rapture hasn't occurred yet because you'll go when the rapture occurs. So if you're still here, the rapture hasn't happened
yet. It's not something that you can miss.
Right. Paul says the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive will be caught up and meet him in the air, 1 Thessalonians 4, 16-17. And he makes it clear that there are no exceptions. It's not some of the dead in Christ will rise, and some of those who are alive will be caught up. It's all who have died in Christ will be raised, and all who are alive will be raised. And he says, therefore, comfort one another with these words in 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Well, there would be no comfort if only some went. You know, there is a partial rapture view. It's just wrong.
But then, even if it was right, there'd be some people that you would know were gone.
Right. When this occurs, there's going to be some sort of worldwide delusion to convince people to explain why millions of people are gone. But the truth is, believers are all going to be going in the rapture. Another thing is, being fearful that you could somehow unknowingly take the mark of the beast is irrational. Because when you read the book of Revelation, the mark of the beast is going to be something people take to buy and to sell. And it's obviously going to be the mark of the beast. It's not going to be some secret thing. It's going to be associated with the number 666. So there's not going to be any surprise, mysterious taking it. It'd be a willful thing. People will say, yeah, give me the mark. And it will be on their forehead or on their hand. Well, I don't know about you, but nobody has put 666 on my forehead or on my hand. And if I'm worrying that maybe that happened while I was sleeping, then I'm not thinking straight.
So what are some other... So Sam can just get clear about what the rapture is.
The biggest issue, Sam, is this. It sounds like you're not either aware of or believing the promise of everlasting life.
Right.
The promise is, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but has everlasting life." Sounds like you're thinking it's more than believing in him. You've got to do something else. And so you need to focus on the promise of eternal life and focus on that. Now, rapture truth is related, but it's, we might call it, more advanced teaching. And it's not something you need to be focusing on right now. You need to focus, first of all, on being sure you have everlasting life. And that's simply by believing in Jesus. Focus on that.
Well, Sam, thank you for your question. And I hope that we've provided you with some comfort. Maybe there's things that are really bothering you, things that really confuse you, that shake up your faith, and that you have questions about regarding the Bible or theology. We'd love to hear from you. Send those questions to radio@faithalone.org. And you might want to attend one of our conferences. If you go to our website, faithalone.org/events, we have conferences around the country. They're a little bit, we've held back a little bit because of COVID, but we're still holding conferences and still speaking at churches, and we'd love to see you there. All right, we'll see you next time. Keep listening to Grace and Focus.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on subjects like what you hear on the show? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options are our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out more about how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or Sean? I know that I enjoy it. Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Now, tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about whether a person can be saved without believing in the resurrection of Jesus. So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.